Alright, what's going on, everybody? Thank you once again for tuning in to another episode of Ant and Big Red vs. the World. We are on episode 14 now. Had our Thanksgiving special last week. I hope y'all liked it. I did get some good feedback from a few people. I thought it was a fun, exciting segment, and I'm glad a lot of you liked it. And it's still out there to listen if you haven't yet, so you should take a listen. But back to a little bit more of our normal stuff today. Ant, you want to tell us what we're getting into?
Yeah, well, I mean, things haven't changed. I'm still average Ant. We're back to our regular formula this week, I guess I would say. We got on the agenda today, we got the Rockets and their struggles and what their future is going to look like. And then we got the NFC standings. For those that don't know, it's more jammed than Seattle traffic is around 5 o'clock on a weekday. And then finally we got my honorable mentions and then Big Red's Ballers and Busts, Ballers with a Z. And that's what we got for you today, so I feel like it's going to be a pretty good show.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, and I am Big Red as always, in case you missed that. But without further ado, we are going to get started with the NBA talk, and since I am no doubt a little bit biased, Ant can take the lead here on the Houston Rockets struggles as I, you know, take care of some tissues, cry a little bit, and try and pull myself together for the segment.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, the Rockets are pretty bad this year so far. Probably one of the biggest disappointments, if not the biggest disappointment so far through the season. They're 14th in the West, but there is at least one positive to that, is being 14th in the West right now is as bad as it seems, since they're only 5 games out of the first seed and only 1.5 games out of a playoff spot. So to be in this position at this point in time isn't the end of the world, I guess I would say. But it's definitely cornered themselves a little bit, and it's going to be tough to get back to anywhere close to where they were last year at the top of the West. I mean, 5 games out in the West may not seem like a lot, but it's a lot. I mean, good thing is that's for the first seed and not a playoff spot, but if they end up getting 3 or so games behind from a playoff spot, it'll be really hard to make that up and get back to a playoff. So with that little intro, I'll let Jake take it from here, and well, hopefully he's done crying, and we'll see what he has to say.
Yeah, no, I'm over it. It is definitely, you mentioned possibly the biggest disappointment so far this season. I would have to agree. I mean, there are some other kind of shockers, like the Jazz being below 500, but the Jazz didn't have the expectations that Houston does. The Celtics are 1 game over 500. They did have the expectations that Houston does, but they're still 1 game over 500 trying to fit Gordon Hayward in. The problems are not quite as evident as they are with the Rockets. Like, the Rockets can't play defense at all. And so they're 2 games under 500. Like you said, they're only about a game and a half out of the playoff, the 8th seed, and only about 5 from the top seed, which at the end of the day is not a whole lot. We still have a lot of season left, but it's concerning. It's very, very concerning to look at this team that Tillman, Frida, or however you say his last name. That's a thing on this show, dude. We just don't know how to pronounce people's last names. We gotta get like a thesaurus or something out here.
Yeah, some Google voice.
The phonics. The phonics monkey. But no, so the Rockets owner's paying out big bucks. He's expecting a championship. They're in the luxury tax because Tillman wants a championship. He said that's the way he'd spend over the top, is if they could win a championship. And so they're obviously not in position to do that right now. They're not even in a playoff spot. So it's really disappointing. And I mean, I've got some numbers that I'll kind of throw out to go into it, because it's, the Rockets are 9-11, but to me, the bright side, or I guess the glass half full look, I shouldn't say bright side because I don't really look at any of this in a good way, but the glass half full mindset tells me that the Rockets are struggling with health. I mean, they're running out guys like Gary Clark as your seventh man. This is a championship or a conference championship team last year that's now running rookies as its seventh and eighth and with some health issues even their sixth man's, and it's obviously showing in the defense, in their defensive schemes with switch heavy. Their switch heavy schemes are, you need experience and you need solid perimeter defenders and first and second year guys that have never played in a scheme super close to this or with these guys before. That's just not going to get it done. And you can point to losing Mbah Mute, Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson to an extent, just because we're talking on depth, because the Rockets seem to have none now. Even though Ariza and Mbah Mute aren't doing great in their other teams, they still would be solid fits in the Houston system, and even though they're aging, would definitely still be holding up better than what the Rockets brought in to replace them, of Brandon Knight, who hasn't seen the court yet, Marquise Chris has barely seen the court, Michael Carter-Williams is awful, James Ennis is about the only dude I'm okay with ever seeing on the court, besides the obvious stalwarts and Harden, PJ Tucker, Chris Paul, and Capella. But I mean, I hate to throw everything on injuries, because it's not just injuries. But the Rockets are 1-7 when Chris Paul or James Harden sit, when only one of them play. They're 1-7. Last year, you could look to the times that Harden missed and the time that Chris Paul missed, and the two of them just kind of carried them, and that's how they stayed afloat. But that was purely, in my opinion, because of all the depth that they had. Last year, the Rockets were just filled with depth. Gerald Green came on as an afterthought. This dude was probably signed as like the 10th, 11th man, ended up balling out and getting rotation minutes down the stretch and in the playoffs. And you had Mbah Mute, you had PJ Tucker, you had Trevor Ariza, you had Ryan Anderson, you had a ton of depth. But 1-7 when Chris Paul or James Harden sits, 8-4 when the two share the court together. And five of those wins are against the likes of the Warriors, the Pistons once, the Pacers, and the Nuggets. So those
Lakers,
are all...
I think they beat the Lakers, too.
Yeah, and those are all current playoff teams. But the thing is, they beat them with the two healthy stars. Yeah. And right now, the Rockets just clearly don't have the depth to support missing James Harden or Chris Paul. And their defense is not good enough with the guys they have around Harden to make up for his defensive issues. And so they're the 28th ranked defense in the league. Offense is good, not great. James Harden's still James Harden, leading the league in points, third in assists. But it's not looking good unless they can get a lot of guys healthy really fast. Suddenly slap Eric Gordon in the face and make him able to shoot threes again, and then pick up somebody. Daryl Morey's going to have to do something special in the trade market or buy out some free agency, because I'm not saying they're sunk by any means, but this is a very, very bad look, and if we weren't doing a whole segment on it, I probably would put the Rockets in Big Red's busts.
Yeah, well, funny you say the Rockets are 28th in defense, because I believe the Kings, which is my favorite team, are 29th. So neither of our teams are playing defense, but this might hurt your feelings a little bit, but I'm not really a believer in James Harden or a believer in CP3 as far as him being on the court goes. Because when he plays, I'm a believer in CP3, but I'm not a believer in that he's always going to play, because he's always hurt with something. And that's true with last year's Western Conference Finals. I mean, you put your life on it that they would have won if CP3 was healthy. I mean, I'm more on that boat than I am off of it. And he got hurt. So, I mean, I'm not a believer in either of them for their respective reasons. And I think they're probably still going to make the playoffs, but their championship window open and close last year. As unfortunate as it is to say that, with their struggles this year, I mean, the first week of the season, first 2 weeks or whatever, is kind of like, they'll figure it out, it's the beginning of the season, but we're 20 games in now, it's a fourth of the season, and the struggles are still happening. I mean, like, definitely some of it is on health, but like you said, they just can't play defense. James Harden and Chris Paul were pretty inconsistent at the beginning of the season. And even though James Harden has somewhat balled out since he put his headband back on, it's not resulting in any wins. So they need to figure something out. They need to figure something defensively out, or else they have a real chance at actually missing the playoffs, which would be a shame because they're seen as the only team in the league going into the season that could give the Warriors a run for their money and possibly beat them. So it'd be disappointing if that happened. I mean, obviously they're not that team anymore. They're not going to challenge the Warriors, I don't think. But they have to at least make the playoffs. And I mean, in the West, if their struggles continue for more of a time than it has, then they're a real threat of missing the playoffs because it's pretty brutal out there in the West. So
100%. I it's really difficult for me to just. I mean, I can't just sit here and bash Chris Paul or the Rocks or anything. Chris Paul was the Cinderella story that ends in heartbreak every single time. He never finds the glass slipper that fits, and it's probably because his ankle's broken every time he tries to put it on.
Yeah, or he tries to put it down and he rolls his ankle with it or something.
Yeah, and I we got Chris Paul last year, the Rockets did, and I was like, well, that makes us really good. But, I mean, you still in the back of everybody's mind is Chris Paul going to stay healthy? Is he going to be able to win in the playoffs? This and that. And we got to the playoffs, and as you said, they lost. And now we're here year two, and the Rockets are struggling again. And by no means do I think this is on James Harden. So James Harden is not defensively capable enough to carry the Rockets out of their funk defensively. He never will be. The best we can hope for is that he's a non-factor, which, based on defensive real plus minus right now, he's zero. He's the one of four Rockets not in the negative for defensive real plus minus, which, when you're a plus nine on offense, I'm taking that every time. But when the overall struggles are defensively, I mean, it's, like I said, their offense is good, not great. They're ninth, which is top 10, but this is an offense that should be top 5, or at least was expected to be, and they're not, and their bottom 20 defense is not going to support it, and while it is health to a degree, there's just not the same talent level they had last year, and these guys just can't compete with the growing teams. And so while I hate to say it, I agree. As of right now, the Rockets are nowhere near the team they were last year. They're nowhere near competing against the Warriors. They're nowhere near competing for a title. They're going to be scratching and clawing, hoping they can get enough guys healthy to climb back into the wild card, or not the wild card race, the eighth seed, the playoffs. And by no means do I think that Dallas is going to stay as the eighth seed. But there's a lot of other teams that are solid in front of the Rockets, too, that are on the outside looking in, with the Jazz, the Spurs, the Pelicans. There's a lot of teams ahead of the Rockets right now, and you're only a game and a half out of the playoffs, but that's a lot of teams, and something's going to have to happen. A lot of people are going to have to get healthy and start playing better, or Daryl Morey's going to have to make a big trade, but I don't know how you do it with the cap restrictions and roster that they currently have. So needle is pointing down in Houston, unfortunately, but at least I can give props to my guy James Harden. 31.1 points per game, leads the league. 2.5 steals per game, leads the league. Almost 9 assists, third in the league. Shout out the beard, I guess. We can just ignore his playoff struggles forever.
Yeah, I mean, if they can claw to a playoff spot and be healthy by the time they get to the playoffs, I think they actually might have a chance to make somewhat of a run, because last year they ran pretty much just a 7-6-7-man rotation, and that worked really well with them. They obviously pushed the Warriors to 6 or 7. They were up 3-2 until Chris Paul got hurt, obviously. But their 6-7-man rotation is actually really good. So, I mean, but obviously a 6-7-man rotation isn't going to carry you through a regular season, because that's a lot of wear and tear on just 6-7 dudes. So, I mean, if they could get there, then healthy. If they could get there healthy, they might have something to look forward to. But I don't know about all that.
Yeah, I mean, they got to get there first. So, that 6-7-man rotation, though, included a solid perimeter defender in Trevor Ariza that they just don't have this year. So,
yeah.
Like I said, something's got to happen. Whether it's the Rockets just kicking themselves in gear or getting somebody being healthy. And never count out, James, never count out two superstars, I guess you could say, and James Harden and Chris Paul.
When one of them's James Harden and underperforms in the playoffs, and then the other one's always hurt in the playoffs, maybe we can count them out.
Like, I don't know. I'm building off you saying there's a chance, you know?
Yeah. No, there's a chance for them to get there for sure. I mean, James Harden is... I still like James Harden. He's one of my... I don't know about favorite players to watch, because he kind of irritates me the way he limits himself on offense. Like, he could be so much more better on offense, which is crazy because he's averaging 31. But he could be better than that. He just limits himself. But I still do like watching him. He's a good regular season player. He puts up these ridiculous stat lines. But when it comes down to it, he just never really gets it done, which is disappointing from a guy that you can argue is a top five player in the league. So...
perennial MVP candidate that perennially struggles in the playoffs. It's tough to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, that is enough shooting me in the leg. Let's move on from my favorite NBA team and get on into the NFC playoff picture. This is something I'm really excited about. I love football. I especially love football when the Seahawks are doing well, but even when they're not, football is one of the things I feel like I can stay really unbiased in, and so this playoff picture is shaping up. It's something I'm really excited for, and I'll just kind of set the current standings, and I'll let Ant get us started, and then we'll build off it. So right now in the NFC, with the Saints' loss to the Dallas Cowboys last night, that puts them at 10-2. And despite holding the tiebreaker over the Rams, drops them out of the number one seed. The number one seed is the 10-1 Rams, obviously, now. Number three is Chicago Bears at 8-3. Four, Dallas with a big win last night to 7-5. Minnesota in the fifth wild card spot at 6-4-1. The Washington Redskins, soon to be 6-10, are in the sixth seed in the wild card. Seventh is my Seahawks. Let's go. Number eight is Carolina Panthers. Nine, Philly at 5-6, and Green Bay at 4-6-1. The Seahawks and Panthers are both 6-5. I don't think I mentioned it. But yeah, Ant, you want to get us started?
Yeah, so I guess I was going to save this point for last, but after we kind of bashed your Rockets, I'll come out and say it. I think the Seahawks are going to get one of the wild card spots for sure. They have at least three for sure wins coming up. They play the Niners twice and the Cardinals, so that's at least three for sure wins. And if they only get those wins, that puts them at 9-7, and 9-7 is realistic to make the playoffs. And so I think the Seahawks definitely have one of those spots, whether it's the fifth or sixth, I don't know, but I feel like they're definitely going to get that. But yeah, you're it's really congested. Like, the West is in the NBA, the NFC is super congested. Like you said, the Hawks, Panthers, and Redskins, they're all 6-5 as of now, and the Eagles are 5-6. And I guess building off of your Redskins soon to be 6-10, I kind of thought the same thing, but then I looked at their schedule, and their schedule looks pretty easy going forward. So I wouldn't necessarily count them out as of now. I mean, we'll see how they play without Alex Smith and stuff, but
they do have a good defense.
Yeah, they do have they have a good defense. Their offense is decent, I guess, but their schedule is pretty easy coming up, so shouldn't rule them out too early. And so I guess someone you should rule out early is the Panthers, which is unfortunate because I kind of like the Panthers. I like Cam Newton. Obviously not my favorite team or anything, but they still have to play the Saints twice, so I don't see them winning both of those. If they even win one, I don't even see them really winning one of those. So that kind of puts an X on them. And then the Vikings also have a toughish schedule too for the remainder of the season. They play the Patriots this week, they play the Seahawks next week, and they play the Bears in the last week. So obviously, I think if they beat the Seahawks, I mean, they don't have to beat the Patriots, but if they beat the Seahawks, they're definitely a lock.
They have to beat the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Really,
to for
make
sure.
The playoffs, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, not vice versa for the Seahawks, though, really, since they have a relatively easier schedule. But
yeah, if the Seahawks beat the Vikings, though,
yeah,
guarantees them a playoff spot. Guarantees it. That gives them tiebreakers over every team they need one over, really. I mean, they'll have a tiebreaker over the Panthers, the Packers, Dallas, and if they beat the Vikings. Now, those are all the teams that are clumped around the wild card, with the exception of Dallas, who is competing for the division title. We'll get into that in a second. I kind of interrupted you. You can keep going.
You're good. And then the Eagles, I'm giving up on the Eagles as unfortunate as it is. I mean, I like the Eagles. They probably have the coolest color scheme in the NFL.
Yes.
And the coolest uniforms, at least the black ones anyway. But
yes.
I kind of had to put an X on them. I mean, they've been lethargic this season. They're obviously hungover from the Super Bowl and whatever, but next year's another year, I guess. They still have Carson Wentz, so. But this year isn't the year. They're out. So I guess that leaves us, realistically, for the wild card, is the Vikings, Seahawks, and Redskins. I think the Cowboys win the NFC East. I mean, I don't really like the Cowboys, but they're on a roll, and I definitely don't see the Redskins passing them, especially after the Cowboys beat them on Thanksgiving. I don't really see them making up any ground,
no. Unless
the Cowboys absolutely collapse, which doesn't seem likely since their defense is locking down and their offense isn't terrible. So I got the Cowboys winning the NFC East. So like I said, I got the Seahawks with one of the wild card spots. And this is something I thought about a lot between the Vikings and Redskins. But I guess... I'd have to go with the Redskins, honestly. Their schedule is just way easier. Their defense is good. It'll be enough, probably, to hold them. I mean, the Vikings, they're not bad, obviously. They're kind of a disappointment, actually. A lot of people felt like they'd be one of the best teams in the NFL. But their schedule coming up is just too tough. And, I mean, especially if they lose to the Seahawks, they're done. So I got those.
They've had a tough schedule all year.
So, yeah, I guess I'll go Seahawks. I'll put the Seahawks at the 5. Yeah, there you go. Put the Seahawks at the 5.
There we go.
And then Redskins at the 6. I mean, it's pretty interchangeable with them and the Vikings. I'm not too firm on that, as I am firm with the Seahawks taking at least one of those spots.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I mean, I kind of broke down the playoff picture into sections, categories, I guess. And so it's like number one is the basically decided teams, the Saints and Rams. They're winning their divisions. Sorry, everybody else. Thanks for playing. But they'll be battling for the number one seed. Now the Saints lost to the Cowboys, which was huge for the Rams, but they do still hold the tiebreaker over the Rams. So all they have to do is win out and hope the Rams can take one more L during the year, and they would have the number one seed. The Saints have arguably the tougher schedule, but the tougher teams they play are at home, the Steelers and Panthers. They play the Bucks and Panthers on the road as well, which I could see them losing to the Panthers on the road, and I'll get into that in a second. But the Rams play the Lions, Bears, Cardinals. Lions, Bears, and Cardinals on the road, and the 49ers and Eagles at home. You're probably... I could see... Again, another thing I'll get into. I think the Bears beat the Rams in Chicago as a huge game, and that is going to determine a lot of things, and that's why my prediction there is the Saints grab the number one seed because of the tiebreaker, basically, and the Rams take the two seed. That's basically decided, though, and it's just going to come down to which one's first or second. Either way, you don't want to face either one of those teams in the playoffs. In control, Cowboys, Bears, both control their own destiny. They just got to win. The Cowboys don't necessarily have to win out, but they probably want to stay at least within one more loss, and the Bears can probably... The Bears play the Vikings one more time, and if they beat the Vikings again, it's all but sewn up. Nobody's coming for them in that division, so prediction, both of them win the division. You talked about the Eagles a little bit. If the Eagles win out, which, mind you, will be very, very difficult for them, as they do play the Cowboys again, they play the Rams, it's not an easy road, but they play the Texans too. So if the Eagles win out, though, they win the division, and they're in it. They'll hold the division tiebreaker over the Cowboys by division record. And so they'll be in the playoffs, but I really don't see the Eagles all of a sudden becoming the same team they were last year and flipping the switch and winning out. They're probably going to lose to the Cowboys again when they play. Things like that. And so I say both those teams win their division. We're pretty on par so far with the predictions and all that. But this is where I kind of differ from you a little bit. This is a crazy, crazy wild card. So Vikings currently 6-4-1 in that 5 seed. But I would say the best position team right now is probably the Seahawks. You touched on their schedule. 4 of their last 5 games are at home.
Yeah.
And they're against the 49ers and the Cardinals. And then, we got a real tough road game on the road against the 49ers again. So, like you said, even if we win 3 of 5, which I don't think is going to happen, I think we'll win 4 of 5 at least. And if we're really balling out, if the Seahawks beat the Chiefs, it's going to be mayhem. It'll be mayhem on the show. It'll be mayhem in the streets. Seahawks will be balling. But they got an easy, easy schedule. And the Vikings, who you were kind of saying interchangeable with the Redskins, right, as your 6th seed?
Yeah.
Yeah. I see the Vikings have a really tough schedule the rest of the way. Bears at home. Thankfully, it's at home. Dolphins at home is not too tough. Patriots and Seahawks on the road, though, that's a gauntlet. That's this week. If the Vikings beat the Patriots this week, probably everything I'm about to say will look super stupid. But they're not going to, in my opinion. Then they're going to go into probably the next toughest stadium to play outside of Arrowhead, in Seattle. And they're going to lose that too, in my opinion. And they have another road game against the Lions. And now the Lions aren't good by any means. But the Lions have also showed up and beat teams like the Panthers and the Patriots, things like that. The Lions hang around to play. Whether or not, if you get them on a good day, sucks for you. It just does. So that's 3 losses. With the Bears more than the Lions, but that's 3 potential losses for the Vikings the rest of the way, which would put them at 8-7-1, and that's not a playoff team for me, and so I think that if the Vikings can beat the Bears and the Lions and take care of business against the Dolphins, yes, they'll be that sixth seed. But I kind of don't see them doing it. I see the Bears being hot, beating them. I see the Patriots beating them, and I see the Seahawks beating them. And, of course, with the Seahawks beating them, they're 10-6 at the very least. They're going to be that five seed, in my opinion. And I say the Vikings go 8-7-1 and miss the playoffs. And from there, it's kind of that up-in-the-air thing that you were said were interchangeable with the Vikings Redskins. I am much, much, much less confident in the Redskins without Colt McCoy, or without Alex Smith, because in my opinion, Colt McCoy is not an NFL, not even a good backup. Colt McCoy is not a good quarterback. Adrian Peterson was a big reason why that Redskins offense was actually doing well. Nobody's worried about Colt McCoy at all. So you know what there's going to be is 8 men in the box stuffing Adrian Peterson as he runs out of the ancient tombs. He's about 1 million years old. And the Redskins offense is going to struggle worse than it has all year. Yeah, their defense is still good, but look what happened against the Cowboys. Yes, the Cowboys are hot. They're doing well. I don't want to take anything away from what they're doing right now, even though I don't want to talk about them because I'm pretty sure every news outlet says, oh, the Cowboys are good again. shut up. I don't want to hear about the Cowboys, but I don't want to take anything away from how well they're playing. The Redskins hung around in that game early on Thanksgiving, with Colt McCoy, and early on it was like, oh, well, this is... We were still making Amari Cooper jokes before halftime, and then 180 yards later we stopped, and the Cowboys beat the Saints. But they were hanging around, but eventually the Cowboys wore them down. Colt McCoy is not able to make plays to vault them into that next level to keep linebackers out of the box and stop teams from just stuffing Adrian Peterson. And so because of that, I don't think that the Redskins necessarily have what it takes to make the playoffs, and if they do, I'll be kind of upset because I don't want to see Colt McCoy in the playoffs. I just don't. I really don't. And yes, you said the easy schedule. They could beat the Giants. I see them losing to Philly. I could see them losing to the Titans at the end of the season. And that puts them at 8-8. Or the Titans at the end of the season, and the Eagles at least once, which would put them at 9-7, which could be a playoff spot. You are correct. And if they are at 9-7, then they will beat the team that I'm predicting is going to be the sixth seed because they hold the tiebreaker over them. But there's no slip-ups from here for the Redskins. I mean, you're going to have to beat a good Jacksonville defense. Yes, Blake Bortles is terrible. We've already gone over it. The Jags are terrible. But their defense is still good. The Giants are playing better lately. They're still bad. But you got to beat the Eagles twice. That's it. Beat the Eagles twice. Or beat the Eagles once and you're in. But I don't see him doing it. I don't see Colt McCoy being able to handle anything resembling a good team, which the Eagles aren't a good team, but they kind of have the outline of one. And so I see them going 8-8, missing the playoffs, and with that I see the Carolina Panthers sneaking in on that sixth seed. Yes, the Panthers have a brutal schedule. I can't disagree with you there at all, because you mentioned how tough it is. They play the Saints twice, but the good news is they got the Bucs this weekend. So if they can get back on track this weekend against the Bucks, then they'll go in, they'll play a tough, tough Browns team, and then you got the Saints. If they can pull out wins against the Bucks and the Browns back-to-back, they're going to have some confidence again. They'll be 8-5, really fighting for the playoffs, and from there you play the Saints at home. And so playing the Saints at home, if you can beat the Saints, you'll be in the playoffs. I don't know if they can, but they have 3 winnable games left on their schedule, and the Falcons, Bucks, and Browns. And if they can get to 9-7, and the Redskins are 8-8, I already said the Vikings are going to lose. Panthers are in. If they can beat the Saints, the Panthers are in for sure, and the Seahawks stay ahead of them because of the tiebreaker. So yeah, I don't know. Conflicting opinions, your thoughts? I kind of went on my whole tirade.
I mean, I love to see the Panthers in the playoffs. Like I said, I like Cam Newton. He's one of my favorite players in the league. He belongs in the playoffs for sure. But their schedule is tough. I mean, we both covered it a lot. I don't think they're going to beat the Saints. I mean, they might be able to get one. But, I mean, almost every team that they're playing, that they have left, is a tough team. I mean, whether records show it or not. I mean, they got the Browns. I mean, the Browns are the Browns, dude. Like, they're actually a football team now. So
it's crazy.
They have them. I mean, like, I'm not necessarily too firm on the sixth spot. It's really a toss up for me, honestly. I wouldn't be upset really if either the Redskins, Vikings, or Panthers get the sixth seed. I mean, like you said, Colt McCoy he should be like delivering packages with UPS or something like that. I don't know. He's not as terrible as you try to make him out to be. Like, he is really bad, but. At least the Thanksgiving game, anyway, he made some decent throws that made him look like he should have a football in his hands. So, I mean, although, like, obviously I'm not a believer in Colt McCoy or anything, I'm not going to put my life on Colt McCoy leading the Redskins to the playoffs. But I think he could be not bad enough to where it doesn't lose them a playoff spot. Like, their defense can control it. They have Adrian Peterson, like you said, they're probably going to stack the box. But really all he needs to do is make one or two throws of like 20 yards and Adrian Peterson will have a little bit of space to work with. So I feel like he's definitely capable of doing that. I mean, he did it Thanksgiving. I mean, they still lost, but he was still able to do that. I mean, he did throw a couple of interceptions, right? Obviously he can't be doing that. He needs to be checked down. If he's making any passes, they need to be checked down. Once he gets those two big plays out of the way, he's just checked down, dude. Like, don't throw the ball for any more than like 2 or 3 yards. But I mean, obviously if I had to put my life on a quarterback leading their team to the playoffs out of the three teams that we're talking about fighting for the sixth seed, it'd be Cam Newton. So I mean, I definitely see where you're coming from with the Panthers making it. Like I said, I wouldn't be upset. I mean, I like Cam Newton. I'd like to see him in the playoffs. Super Cam needs to be dabbing on them again. So I guess that's how I feel about that.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Colt McCoy, he threw 3 interceptions against the Cowboys. 2 touchdowns, though, 270 yards. The big issue is 12 carries for 35 yards from Adrian Peterson. And the Dallas defense is good. So, like I said, I don't want to take anything away from it. but when you think about teams that get into the playoffs, it's teams with quarterbacks that make the playoffs. Now, Alex Smith did a great job positioning the Redskins at 6-4. So, really, Colt McCoy needs to come in and do his very best Alex Smith impression and manage the game. Let Adrian Peterson run it. Hopefully Chris Thompson comes back healthy for him and they have a shot. But quarterbacks are the name of the game, and I'm trusting Cam Newton more than I do Colt McCoy. I'm trusting Kirk Cousins more than I do Colt McCoy. And overall, I trust Cam Newton and Riverboat Ron more than I do Kirk Cousins. I am not a big fan of Cam Newton. I think he's an incredibly talented guy. He's got the swagger. I think he's immature.
Kirk Cousins? Or
Cam Newton. Cam Newton. I'm not his biggest fan. I respect his football ability, and that's a big reason why I'm choosing the Panthers as my prediction for that sixth seed. But it really is a toss-up. This is just a jumbled mess. The only thing I'm confident in is that the Seahawks are going to win 4 of their last 5 games and be in. And they control their own destiny, playing at home. CenturyLink is a different animal. Only team to beat them this year is the Rams. Beat them there this year is the Rams. And that was by 2 points. So, Seahawks I'm confident in. Panthers, Redskins, or Vikings. It really could be any single one of them. I'm just going to stick my faith in Cam Newton. And like you said, hopefully we see some Super Cam in the playoffs, because I like the excitement, and the Panthers are exciting. The dude I want to see in the playoffs is 246 yards from scrimmage Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
That dude is a bona fide star. Let's get him in the playoffs and see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess since we wrap this up, a little bit of a fun fact. I almost got a Cam Newton jersey like a few years ago. So,
ooh,
yeah, there's
okay.
That. And Panthers black jerseys are, I'd say, second to their Eagles black jerseys. So.
I would buy that. I like the Panthers jerseys. I have a problem with the Panthers mainly because of like the kind of Panthers Seahawks rivalry that's developed with them playing 12 to 15 games every time they're in each other's parks, and then them trouncing us in the playoffs a few years ago. So I mean, that's probably where most of my Cam Newton dislike stems from. But because I do respect him as a football player and his talent, so like I said, I mean, I'm picking his team to get in the playoffs, so he better do it. Don't make me look stupid, Cam.
Yeah, dude, it'd just be another reason for you to hate him.
For real. All
right, so.
All right, well.
Yeah, I'll take it if you don't want to take it.
You can take it, because lots of people are trying to take it, so you can take it.
Okay, sorry. All right, so I guess that wraps up our two big segments today. Lots of good back and forth between me and Big Red. So I guess I'll move into my honorable mentions. I'm building on what we were just talking about. The Saints somehow lost to the Cowboys. They lost 13-10 in a real offensive thriller. The Drew Brees, he had MVP on lock a couple of weeks ago. But after this game and somewhat of the Thanksgiving game, it's kind of sus. So... MVP is definitely now back in the air, and in the time that Drew Brees has been trying to lose MVP, Dak has been balling out, so shout out to him. He's not checked down Dak as of the last 2 weeks, so I guess shout out to him. And kind of something sad for me real quick, the Michigan lost to Ohio State for the fourth time in the Jim Harbaugh era, second time where they had a college football playoff berth on the line. So Michigan needs to move on from Jim Harbaugh. I love Jim Harbaugh. I liked him with the 49ers a lot, but it's time to move on. And my last honorable mention, Timberwolves, probably the biggest surprise the last 2 weeks. They're 7-2 since trading Jimmy Butler, and you might think this is a joke or something, but they're the best defensive team in that time span. a team that was probably the worst defensive team in the league after trading their best defensive player is now the best defensive team in the league since trading him. Eventually, I mean, they'll fall back down to earth. I don't really see them making the playoffs or anything like that. I'm not a believer in Carl Anthony Towns, and definitely not a believer in Andrew Wiggins. He's hot garbage. So that does it for my honorable mentions. I'll give it to Big Red. He can give us any information on what I just said, or is Big Ballers and Bus?
Yeah, I'll touch a little bit on. It's crazy to see the Timberwolves doing so well. I mean, you always expect giving up your best player. Sorry, Cat, you can't play defense. Well, maybe you can now, I guess. All you needed was to get rid of your best defensive player. It's crazy, though. But the thing is, you think about it, like, they picked up good rotation guys. Robert Covington is excellent.
Yeah,
he's arguably one of the best 3-and-D role players in the league. And you add him alongside with they got Saric, correct?
Yeah.
I'm going to get my European names mixed up eventually. We got Doncic and Saric and Bobanovic. And
Bogdanovic.
Oh, yeah. I'm over it. But yeah, they picked up a lot of good pieces, and Tom Thibodeau, he is a solid coach, and so props to the Timberwolves. Drew Brees, you're unreal. You're completing like 76% of your passes. You're probably still going to be around there at the end of the year, but if you keep struggling like this, which was, this was bad. It was, he threw for like 158 yards, and I'd only one pick. Drew Brees doesn't throw picks, but it was a costly pick. Trying to throw it to Alvin Kamara for I don't know why at the end of the game after Dak tried to fumble it back to you. That is not what I was expecting at all to happen. I'll give props to my big bro Hendo. He was like, I think this could be a trap game for the Saints. Dallas is at home. They're playing well. He kind of predicted it. But then Dak fumbled it back to Drew Brees. The NFL's rigged, and Dak Prescott fumbled it back so that the Saints could go down and score and win, but they didn't. The Cowboys held strong, picked off Drew Brees, and now I feel like I want to see Mahomes back in that MVP race. Yeah.
He's at least back in it.
100%. I want to see him have a strong second half against everybody except the Seahawks. I do love Drew Brees too, though, so I'd be fine no matter what happens. Maybe we'll get some kind of award prediction thing as things are spicing up a little bit here at the end, but definitely a bummer for the Saints and Drew Brees. And we talked about it earlier, that lost them their number one seed.
Yeah, it's tough.
But yeah, that's about all I'll mention. And then we'll, now Big Red's ballers and busts, baby. And so first off, we got ballers with a Z. Baker Mayfield. Wow. Number one overall pick. People trashing the Browns for it. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this dude lately, but in his last game against the Bengals, he threw for 258 yards and 4 touchdowns. He won the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Month. He's the best rookie quarterback in the league right now. Try me. Name somebody else. There are guys with potential, but you're not playing as well as Baker Mayfield right now. The dude's accuracy in college has carried over. That rarely happens. A 70%+ passer is still around there as an NFL QB. It's crazy. In this month that he won Rookie of the Month, the Browns have gone 2-1. Probably the first time the Browns have won two games back to back is their first road win, I believe, since 2014. Baker Mayhem is here. He's the first rookie quarterback in history to post 140-plus passer rating in back-to-back games against Atlanta and Cincinnati, who are both contenders at the time that he's playing them. So it's not necessarily like he's playing pushovers. The Falcons were still fighting for a playoff spot around 500, and Cincinnati still had Andy Dalton, and they were above 500. So Baker Mayfield's balling out, 770 yards, 9 touchdowns, and 1 pick this month. Shout out Baker Mayfield, and honestly, you mentioned earlier the Browns playing well. Shout out the Browns. I think they finally found their franchise QB, and they are no longer going to be the laughingstock of the league. And so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not a Baker Mayfield fan, you're whack. That's just facts.
Right? But Baker's money. He's nice. But my bust, so this one's not necessarily something that's like exactly going on or anything, but as the Mariners start stripping and going full rebuild mode, I'm thinking about baseball and free agency and things, and all I can really think about here is looking at the Los Angeles Angels and the fact that they've made the playoffs one time in the Mike Trout era. That's the best player on the planet. Now, this is going to be a bad comparison because in basketball, you can have one player that makes you a playoff team, and baseball, not at all. But you have the best player on the planet. No, like, very few people will dispute that with you, that currently Mike Trout is the best player in the league, in the game. And you've made the playoffs one time? One time. You have, on a rookie deal, the best player in the league, and you can't build a roster around him? You have Pujols with his absurd contract, and he's like 50 years old, hitting like 250 and 25 bombs. You're paying him like $25 million a year. The Angels have the 6th highest payroll in baseball. Their two most exciting pitchers, Garrett Richards and Otani, both Tommy John. Garrett Richards probably leaving in free agency. I don't know what you're going to do because unless Mike Trout just loves your organization, he doesn't love your manager anymore because you fired Mike Scioscia, the only manager he's ever known. you're probably losing Mike Trout. And the Angels are going to be looked back at as this era of Angels baseball is going to be looked back at as one of the biggest disappointments in their franchise history. Not because of Mike Trout not performing. He did perform. He balled out every single year, and you saw amazing things from Mike Trout, and everyone will appreciate Mike Trout as an Angel. But you had the best player on the planet, and you didn't make the playoffs more than one time. And that was a 3-game sweep to the Royals. Sick. Angels well on their way to losing Mike Trout to free agency to a $400 or $500 million contract. The Angels will have to make the playoffs this year to keep Mike Trout around, and I don't know how they're going to do it when you look at the Astros being constructed the way they are. The A's came out of nowhere and won 97 games. The Mariners are rebuilding, and I would say they're in better position to to perform than the Angels are. I mean, they're about to trade Cano and clear up cap space. Maybe the Mariners are building the ultimate contender, and they're going to sign Mike Trout to that $500 million contract. More jokingly on that end, but Los Angeles Angels, you are Big Red's bust because you can't do it with the best player in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, I've been thinking about it for years. Like, why is Mike Trout still in LA? they must like have some dirt on him or something to where so he doesn't want to sign somewhere else. I mean, I hate these kind of situations, like the LeBron in Cleveland the first year, stage of his career, I guess. Anthony Davis right now with the Pelicans. It just sucks seeing a generational player, one of the best players in his sport of all time, being wasted like this. I mean, he's won MVP pretty much every year he's been in LA. And like you said, they have one playoff appearance where they got swept. So, I mean, I don't get it. And it's beyond me. I don't understand why he's still there. I mean, I guess Mike Trout, he's a good guy. He's very humble. Probably the most humble, like, generational super talent star, I've ever seen. He's super quiet, keeps to himself and stuff. So he wouldn't necessarily come out and like demand a trade or like bash the Angels or whatever. So I guess free Mike Trout. I guess we'll add him to the list. Free Kemba, free Mike Trout. So
yeah, I really I can get on the movement for Kemba too. It you touched on it even deeper. I hate seeing guys waste their prime in bad situations, and it sucks. And now Mike Trout is going to be a free agent well in his prime still. So thank goodness. I just hope he doesn't. You could argue the same thing about Felix Hernandez the entire mm-hmm. time with the Mariners. Yeah. I love that you stick with your city. I love staying behind that. I, as a Mariners fan, it's difficult for me to say this, but for the sake of baseball, Felix should have gone somewhere and gone to the playoffs. I wish more, even as a Mariners fan and how much I love seeing him and pitching his perfect game for us, I would have loved nothing more than to see Felix Hernandez in the playoffs and see how he did in the playoffs. Because we never got to see it. And I don't want that to happen with Mike Trout. We need Mike Trout in the playoffs. That's all I'm going to end it on. That's it. We need Mike Trout in the playoffs. Free Mike Trout. Let's get it.
We'll now selling in the Ant and Big Red merch store. Free Mike Trout t-shirts.
Dude, they should be, man. It's crazy out here. But I think that wraps it up for today. You got anything else, Ant?
Nah, we got it. We got it covered.
Yeah. Well, thanks again for listening, guys. Hope you liked the episode. This is a good one. We're getting ready, gearing up for the next few weeks, and then our Christmas special that we're going to toss in there. We're bouncing ideas back and forth now, and so if you got anything, let us know. As always, I'm Big Red.
And I'm Average Ant.
Thanks for listening.
I'm Average Ant. Sorry for cutting Big Red off. Thanks for listening as well.